Good morning. How is everyone? Hallelujah. God's good. Amen. Glad to have Josh and Anna back, and Tori and Corey, and Steve and Samantha. I tell you, if we can get Zach and Amber and Kylie and Elizabeth back, we'll be back where we're needing to be, wanting to be, right? Amen. Just keep praying. Keep trusting the Lord. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 1 and Isaiah 55. Genesis chapter 1 and Isaiah 55. While you're turning there, let me just lay a few things out that we need to kind of get a host of this morning. What if somebody to come to you and they told you, say, listen, I've got a secret that will keep the devil from being able to steal your joy, be able to keep the devil from messing with your finances, keep the devil from being able to mess with your family? Would you be interested in the secret? I would be interested in the secret, wouldn't you? What if there was a secret about how you could have divine health and not always be looking to be healed, but you could just walk in divine health? Would you be interested in the secret? I would be interested in the secret, wouldn't you? And so the Bible says that the secret thing belongs to the Lord, but it's you and I, it's our privilege, the things that He has gave out of His secrets, that we search them out. Say, I'm a searcher. So this morning we're going to look at some things, and you're going to be on one side or the other. You're going to get a little puffed up in your flesh, or you're going to get so excited in your spirit that you can't stand it. Just depends on where we're at. Just being honest, amen? So let's make sure that we get excited in our spirit, and let's put the flesh down, and let's let the Holy Ghost just be honest with us. See, in relationships, you can only be as close to a person as you're willing to allow them to be honest with you. Everybody wants intimacy if it's on their terms. So we've got to come and see that God has some terms, and when we come in that place, in that position, it will change everything. Amen? All right. Genesis chapter 1, let's understand who we are first, so we can get this in our heart. Genesis chapter 1, let's read, just for sake of time, verses 26 and 27. Genesis chapter 1, and starting in verse 26, if you're there, say amen. And God said, let us make man in our image. Say, He's talking about me. And God said, let us make mankind, man and woman both, in our image. We'll document that in a minute. After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27. So God, He said something, and then He done something. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. Isn't that amazing? You and I, we are to walk in the example of the Lord. And when we understand that we are spirit beings, that we have a soul, but you and I walk in this earth in a body, and that body has to be brought under subjection by the Word. Amen? Isaiah 55, verse number 6. Isaiah 55, verse number 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Remember, Noah found grace, Genesis 6:8, in the eyes of the Lord. And you and I can too. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call you upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. He's talking to the wicked and the unrighteous, so He's not talking to me. Come on. Hallelujah. Verse 9, for as the treasures, or as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now here, concentrate on these two verses, 10 and 11. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, say my mouth, It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. My word out of my mouth. My word out of my mouth. Come on, we're created in the image of God. You are a spirit speaker. Come on, say, I'm a spirit speaker. Brother Donnie, would you pray? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for honoring the word. Thank you, Brother Donnie, for your prayer. Thank you once again for your presence. So this morning, we're going to see that by the power of our words, you and I, we are either going to secure our lives into the way and the will of the Lord, or we're going to have an open door for the enemy to be able to work in our lives. I don't want any open doors, do you? Only open door I want is Jesus Christ. I don't want any avenue of the enemy to have a work in my life. So make this decree with me this morning. Say, my words, they are supplied and they are alive by the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the truth. You and I, we've got to let Him be our source. Let Him supply us with the words that He would have us to say. And when He does, our words are alive. That means they're quick, they're sharp, they're like what God said His word would do. It would not return void, but it would change some things. I want some things changed this morning, don't you? I want some things different. See, God is getting us in a mode to do what He would have us to do this year. He let us be ready like never before. And so one of the ways that we're going to be ready is we've got to let the reverence of the Lord return back to the church. And the way the reverence of the Lord returns back to the church is we learn about our speech. Our speech either pulls God closer to us or it causes Him to draw back. Because the Bible tells me I can grieve the Holy Spirit. I can quench the Holy Spirit. I don't want to do those things. Amen. Rabbi Joseph Tuscan, he made this statement out of his book about words that he wrote. In this statement, he said, because I like how he said it, because me and Corey had this conversation here a while back. If we're not careful, sometimes we want to be all inclusive, and everybody does this all the time, you know, and that's not true. We have a tendency to do that. So I like how he said this. He said that. Most of the people, most of the time, and I think this is very true, said that we're more careful about how we pick out our clothes than how we choose our words. Now, that's a powerful statement, because that means my mind is more flesh-centered, soulish-centered, than it is spiritually centered. And so I've got to step back and I've got to change some things. And so let's look at that this morning. Let's break some things down. Now, you and I, we know the verse very well, Proverbs 18:21, and it tells us that death and life is in the power of the tongue, right? And who you're going to eat the fruit thereof. So I'm either going to be eating the fruit of life or I'm going to be eating the fruit of death. Well, Jesus is the life. Hebrews 2:14, Satan is death. So I want to be cautious, don't you? So I'm going to eat some fruit. So whatever fruit that I partake of, it's got a seed in it. And that seed is going to reproduce because God said it was seed time and harvest, kind after kind. He said that would be that way the whole until the fruition, the fulfillment of this earth age as we know it. So I've got to see that. So I've got to step back and I've got to say, now, wait a minute. God said that He looked at things and when they were a certain way, remember Romans 4:17, He said that God called those things in Abraham's life like they were not. Come on, He called those things that be not as though they were. And so all of a sudden, Abram, he become an Abraham, and Sarah, I become a Sarah, because God looked at the situation and He sent His word and it didn't return unto him void, but it changed the situation. I want my situation changed, don't you? I want my life to line up with the living Lord. I want His way, His will, and His work to come in and through my life. And I know that you do too. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at some things and build ourselves up. And even if I've got some trouble in my life, even if I got some mistakes in my life, God has a word for me. Think about King David. King David anointed to be king and a mighty warrior for the Lord. But all of a sudden, he gets in a place where he commits sin. But God sends a word to him through Nathan the prophet, 2 Samuel chapter 12. And he sends that word to him, and all of a sudden, it brings David out of his sin, and it brings him to the place of repentance. And then everything, he's restored. So you and I, we got to be in the place and position where say, Lord, I want to walk in your word every day, that where if I need restoration in my life, I will have it, I will receive it. But also, I know that I'm to speak this into other people's lives. Come on, you and I, we come in contact with people who need restoring. They need a word. They need a word that'll help them. And so we're going to look at three things. I want you to write this down on the table of your heart. Your words, they're at watch. Your words are at watch. In other words, they're on guard. And we want God to be the guard. Not my wife, not my husband, not my children. Come on. Not the nosy neighbor. The Holy Ghost. Because other people don't understand. They don't know everything that's going on. But God does. He looks at my heart and he helps me according to where I'm at. Amen. And somebody else, they just may look at the outside and make the whole misguided judgment, and it ends up bringing harm and hurt instead of the blessing of the Lord. And so I want that. So our words, they're at watch, but our words are at work. And if they're at work for the Lord, wonderful. But if they're work for the enemy, then God considers them idle and useless. So we got to be cautious. And then our words, they're at worship. Worship. And worship is where we really find out where we're at. See, when we're in that intimacy, when we're on our face before the Lord and He's right there with us, in that moment of worship, that's when we can really see whether we're taking what God has promised us and we're applying it. Come on, it takes us to the next level. It brings all this to fruition. Amen. All right, so notice what he said one more time. Let me reread verse 11. God said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It's not going to be empty. So you've got to get in the place. I've got to get in the place where I recognize that everything I say, it's not going to, it's not empty. It has power to it. It either has death, as Proverbs 18:21 said, or it has life. Well, you and I being blood-bought, being born again, being blood-washed, being spirit-filled, we can speak the words of life. Amen? So let's look at the words at watch. Go with me to Psalms 141. Let's get this in our heart this morning. Let's let the Lord do some things in our life. Psalms 141, verse number 1. And we're working our way down to verse 3. Psalms 141:1. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me, or haste. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. So this is we're going to see all three things at work here. And the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Verse number 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. So this should be your prayer. This should be my prayer. Every day as we start our walk with the Lord, we've got to get in the place and the position where we pray the Word of God. Because when you and I pray the Word of God, that's our position of power. That's our position of victory. And so I want you to notice the intimacy here, because there would have been a time in my life when I wouldn't have prayed this prayer. Because see, when I pray this prayer, I'm recognizing and realizing that I'm giving the Lord, God is, He has all power. We know that. He's omnipotent. But at the same time, He's a gentleman. And so He won't go where He's not invited. He will not push Himself on your life, on my life. And so I've got to come to the place and position where I say, Lord, I want You to come and to be the one that examines my speech. I want You to be the one that tells me the truth of where I'm at and what I'm talking about. Am I talking the truth, or am I talking out of my flesh? Am I talking out of my feelings? Am I talking out of the situation? And so he said, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. In other words, we've got to tell the Lord, I want You to be the guard. Because that's what this is saying in the Hebrew. I want You, Lord, to be the guard. See, because God knows ahead of time what the enemy is trying to do to set us up, to get us to undo what God is wanting to do in us. See, so many times in our life, if we're not careful, we pray the prayer of faith. We receive a word by the Spirit of the living God. And while we're in the moment of that coming to fruition in our life, the devil will do something. He'll manipulate us. He'll twist situation facts, visions, understanding. And he'll try to get us to undo with our words what God's promised. Come on now. Well, I thought I received. I thought God's... No, remember, this is how he worked in the garden. Hath God not... Say, come on. So we ask God, which is simply say, Father God, I want you in the name of Jesus, I want you to be the guard of my mouth. Now notice what it says. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. So when it says keep here, it means to guard. So you're saying, God, I want you to be my guard, but then I want you to guard. In other words, I'm taking the chains off. I'm not quenching the Spirit. I'm not grieving the Spirit. Come on, I give you free will. You bring conviction. You bring truth. You bring understanding. You bring wisdom to me. Whatever you say, I'm letting you be the Lord. I'll let you have the first and the final say. See, this is the only way it'll work. If we don't, we're going to always have that open area where the devil can get into your life, into my life. And when he does, then he starts working through that speech and he undoes all the promises. He hinders the plan. He stops the provision. Come on, it's time that you and I, we understand his method of operation and we don't let it happen anymore. Amen? All right, go with me to the book of Proverbs. Let's see something here. Proverbs chapter 13. Look at verse number 3. This for sake of time. And then let me read 1 and 2. A wise man heareth his father's instruction. This, come on, we're going to hear what God says. But a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. We read that for verse 3. He that guards his mouth keepeth his life. So, now don't get aggravated at me, but I want you to pray about it and take it home with you and let's see what the Holy Ghost shows you. There may be some things in our life that we're blaming on the devil that I need to take responsibility for. See, Jesus is here to help me, and he's here to minister to me, but I've got to be in the place and the position where I recognize, yes, I know God is good and the devil's bad, and I know God does good and the devil does bad, but am I opening up the door and giving him leeway, giving him access, giving him an avenue to work in my life? Because notice what he said, he that keepeth his mouth, he that guards his mouth, keeps his life. So, by my words, now, the second part where it keeps his life, it means to hedge about with thorns. It's that hedge that Job had in the beginning and then was restored in the end. Now, see, Job lost the hedge because what did it say? His greatest fear came upon him. He kept living and talking out of his fear, and every time he did, there was another level of that wall, that hedge of protection went down. And finally, when it got down to the point where the devil could get over it, then we had that whole encounter that we don't know, but Hebrew scholars say that it lasted about 9 months. I don't know, but it was a horrible time that he went through. And you and I, we don't want anything to do with it. Amen? We want the wall of protection. We want that hedge. And so I've got to be in the place and the position where I'm going to, by the Spirit helping me, by God being with me and quickening me and sharpening me, I'm going to let Him be my guard, and I'm going to let Him empower me to understand some things where I can put a hedge around my life. See, okay, let's talk about it just for a second. I can't talk about you. All I can talk about is what I grew up in. I can remember certain people in my family that say, well, it's flu season. I get sick every time of this year. And it even got me to where I would get sick on my birthday. You mark it down every year. I would get the same thing. And I got in that routine. Oh, gosh, I just hate to see my birthday come. I'm going to get sick. Because what we were programmed by those people around us. And sure enough, every year. But finally, that was broke in Jesus' name. Amen. God's good. He wants to help us. He wants to bless us. He wants to encourage us. But we've got to break out of some things, and we've got to do some things different. All right. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction, shall have ruin. Now, not to be vulgar, but I want you to understand how God looks at this from his point of view when he says that when you and I just simply open our mouth and start saying things we shouldn't say. This has a sexual connotation on it of licentious. So you and I, we understand what he's saying here and how God looks at it. You and I, we're protective of who we are and what God has gave us. And we're not willing just to give ourselves to anybody. First of all, we're the Lord's. And if God has gave us a spouse, we're our spouse. Our spouse is ours. And so we have this unity. We have this oneness. And so, but at the same time, we've got to see that the enemy wants to do anything and everything to get you and I to open our mouth and to say what the devil's saying, to come into a place of idolatry. See, idol worship can be what we think or believe and then say. It's not just some little idol on a shelf. It's these concepts in our mind that get lifted up above the truth of the Word of God. And so we've got to be very cautious. All right, so he's given us this truth here. He said, he that keepeth his mouth will keep his life. So what we've got to start saying this morning, where the devil has been working in your life, in the name of Jesus, just say, I've got the hedge of the Lord around that. Devil, you can't get to that anymore. In the name of Jesus, you cannot get to it. And then you say, Father God, if I ever start to say something that will undo that hedge, that will take a level off of that, quicken me. Convict me. Show me how I can be in the place of not letting anything take that away. Amen. And when you and I are in that place, in that position, all of a sudden, there's a security there. I want the security of the Lord, don't you? All right. So, I don't want any ruin in my life, and I don't want you to have any ruin, and we're not going to. So turn over to Proverbs 21. Let's look at another witness to this. And I admonish you, look at some of the modern translations. I like the King James. We don't have them here. I'd put them up here. But there's some that really bring these two verses out that really get a host of your understanding. I mean, they're so modern English that it's just plain that it'll almost make you giggle. Because you realize how silly I am when I go the other direction is why I say that. Proverbs 21:23. Whoso keepeth his mouth, come on, this is that word to hedge about with thorns. See what God's doing? He's bringing us to the place where all of a sudden that not only is our life guarded with these thorns because of that hedge of protection, but because we're yielding and trusting in the Lord, we're moving deeper in Him. Now that hedge is around my tongue, around my words. All of a sudden, we were willing to pray that prayer. Lord, I'll open my mouth wide and you fill it. Lord, let me be like the prophet. Let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth if I'm not supposed to say anything. And all of these things. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble, from tribulation. I don't like tribulation, do you? I don't like pressure. Because here's what the devil does to me in that tribulation time, in that pressure time. He tries to turn me into his tea kettle. Say, I'm the Lord's tea kettle. See, come on, amen. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They were so on fire by the Holy Ghost. They were so full of the Spirit of the living God that the fire burned out dross and self. And when they got so full of the pressure of the living God, the Spirit of God, the words came out. That's what you and I desire, right? That's what we want. Well, I am not the devil's tea kettle. You are not the devil's tea kettle. We're the property of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've been blood bought, blood washed. And so I want to be in the place and position where I keep myself from this troubles. And it didn't say God's going to do it. I got to do it. So maybe I'm wasting a lot of time on my knees and a lot of tears on my altar when I need to do something different. And if I'll try it God's way, then all of a sudden, things are going to come in alignment. Amen? All right, so say my words are on watch. Amen? They're on watch. And if your words are on watch, then go with me to Matthew chapter 12. Very familiar. We've preached out this countless of times. Matthew chapter 12. Then our words, they're at work. Say, my words are at work. Come on, we got to believe that. We just got to make sure who they're employed by. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, for sake of time. Matthew 12, 34. O generation of vipers. Now notice how, I love it how they say that Jesus didn't challenge people. Come on, he's talking to the religious, he's talking to the church of that day before Pentecost, so you can imagine the attention that he's getting. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Now notice this, verse 36, this is why we come here. But I say unto you that every idle word, and this word idle is argos, it means unemployed, it means inactive. Really, it means useless. So he's wanting to help us here. You and I, if we're not careful, see, I don't usually get in trouble unless I'm in a situation with somebody that I'm comfortable with, and we just start talking, and I let my guard down, and all of a sudden one thing is said, another thing is said, and before I know it, after it's over, the Holy Ghost, I'm looking for him. I feel that little separation. I feel that it's a little scary. I feel lost and all those things. Now I know he never leaves us, but he does pull back. Amen. We know that. And so we've got to be cautious, and we've got to say, Lord, I know that even around my best friend, and we're going to look in just a moment, even with your spouse, even inside your household, you've got to be on guard. That's where the devil works the strongest. And the word, he's the most effective. Amen? Stay with me. But this I say unto you, that every, how many? All of them? Some of them? A little bit of them? All of them. Thank you, Sister Michelle. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So I've got to see that God cannot go past his word in my life. He may be, he may have all of these blessings and all of these truths and all of these treasures out of his storehouse that he wants to bring into my life. And through Jesus Christ, I have an avenue and I have access to them. But he can't get them to me because my speech is tying his hands. My words are not employed by the Holy Spirit, and there's only one other source. It's either God or the devil. And I know some people don't believe that, but that's the truth. There's two sources, because you and I, a source means originator. You're not an originator. You were created by God. I was created by God. So there's only two sources. We got to put that in our heart. And so, anyway, right now, so by his words that he gives me, I can justify every situation of my life. Or by the words of the enemy, I can bring condemnation. So I got to step back and I got to say, Lord, I want you to help me only speak those words that's employed by you. Go with me back to the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And this is where it really gets in our heart, that we got to be very cautious. Look at the last verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20. Curse not the king. Now, I don't understand exactly how all the translators worked and all those things. But anyway, if you study this out, don't ever take my word for it. You study it yourself. Anybody can do it with a Bible app. With the Strong's coordinates. But anyway, the word here, curse, it means to make light of. See, we look at it as something that's very with anger, with malice, with harmful intent. But we got to get back to what is really said. He said, curse not the king. So it just means to make light of. Now don't get mad at me. As much as I don't like him, you don't need to be laughing and saying, let's go Brandon. I'm sorry. If you want this nation to change, we got to pray for our leaders. We're in a mess. They need our help. They need the Holy Ghost to come on their life. That man is not in good mental health. He needs Jesus desperately. I'm not for what he's doing and none of those things. But I'm for Jesus in this country. Amen. And I'm for us to fulfill in what we need to do. But you and I, we've got to be cautious. But I would just throw that in there to let it remind us that God is mindful of our government, because he said no leader is put in place. 1 Timothy chapter 2, unless God does it, and that's why we're supposed to pray for him. But anyway, he said, curse not. Don't make light of the king. What does Revelation 1:6 and Revelation 5:10 say about you? You're kings. So when you talk about your brother or your sister, when I talk about my brother or my sister, I make light of them. I've got a problem. We may not understand each other, but we have no right to judge one another. Now, why are we talking about this? Because God is wanting to increase his level of anointing. And when his level of anointing increases, if you and I are not being sanctified, if we're not being pruned and purged, we will end up like Ananias and Sapphira. Come on, the power of the Holy Ghost is coming, because there's going to be a latter-day harvest, and it's going to be greater than that lie that is in the world. The lie is stronger than I've ever seen it in my life, and it's going to continue to increase. But God said that where sin abound, where lies abound, he said his grace would there much more abound. So there's going to be an anointing like we've never seen before, that you and I've got to be ready. We've got to be able to carry that anointing. Amen? Curse not the king. No, not in thought. See, if you start looking all through the Old Testament and the New Testament, God looks at your thoughts and my thoughts as words. Because remember where we started? God thought, let us make man in our image. That thought become a word, and that word become a reality. That's why we've got to step back and we've got to say, Lord, help me. See, 1 Corinthians 2:16 promises you and I that we have the mind of Christ. And we've got to say that, because if we don't, we'll be convinced that we can never let that mind, Philippians chapter 2, that was in Christ be in us. But we do. So every day we say, Lord, right now I've got all of these thoughts, but I have the mind of Christ. I'm going to let the mind of Christ by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to let it override what I'm feeling, what I'm seeing, the way I'm trying to compute this information. And if it don't line up with you, it's gone in Jesus' name. Amen? Come on, that's how we have the life of peace. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious not about one thing, but in everything. You and I, we've got to be in the place where we're asking God for to help us think on those good things of Philippians 4:8. Amen? Curse not the king. No, not in thought. Curse not the rich. See, it's easy for you and I to look and say, boy, look what they're doing. If I had that. See, rich, in Bible terms, is having what you need when you need it. Matthew 6, Jesus said, if you've got enough for this day, anything more than that, don't get to thinking about the next day and what you're going to do and how you're going to accumulate this to yourself and all of these things. He said, that's evil thereof. But also, let's look at it from the spiritual point of view. Every one of you in here, you are mega zillionaires. Romans 8:16-17. You're in Christ. You're a son and daughter of the Most High God. So you are an heir of God. What does God own? You're a joint heir with, that's right, Donna. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You've got a double heirship. So you're rich. But we got to reprogram our mind to that, and we got to talk like that instead of talking lack, doubt, defeat, all of those things. Now, why did I say that? Because most of the time we don't curse somebody else, we curse ourselves. Lord, I don't have this. Lord, I can't do this. We got to go back to what the Bible says, and let it be, have the final say in every area in our life. Curse not the king, no, not in thought. Curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. Now mark this down in your heart, in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. And we know what the Bible says. The Bible tells us that you and I, in Matthew 18, round about verse 10, that we have angels. Plural. And so, the Jewish, the Hebrew tradition, I've never been able to find a scripture on it, but the philosophy that they have is that you had one angel that, wrote down everything, writes down everything that you and I say. And and the other angel then is there to guide, to protect, if we will allow him to, and to respond to the word of God. But that angel then takes what we say and has to report that. Well, at the same time, we know that everything that God has in the positive, the devil has in the negative. And so whether we understand it or not, our court system here on earth is completely constructed in a imitation, in a foundational sort of way from heaven. There's a court system in heaven. That's why Jesus is called your advocate. He's called your lawyer in the epistle of 1 John. And so remember Jesus told in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, Jesus told Peter, he said, hey, Peter, he said, listen to me, you better do this and you better do that. You better prepare because Satan has demanded you for trial. Now, in the Greek, in the King James, it says he wants to sift you as wheat. But the word, if you translate it from the Greek, it means he's demanded you for trial because of his words. Lord, I'll never leave you. I don't have to get down here and pray. I'm going to go with you to the end. I'll die with you. So those words had then made it to heaven, and then they had then been ministered back to Jesus here on earth by the Spirit of God. The moment I say something, it's in the second heaven where the devil rules and reigns. It's in the third heaven where God rules and reigns. Curse not the king, no, not in thought. Curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. So you and I, we got to stay in the place and the position where we recognize we're going to go to heaven because we're blood bought. You're saved. You're born again. But the Bible says that you and I are going to be judged for the things we do. And Sister Victoria, put 2 Corinthians 5:10, 2 Corinthians 5:10, we're going to be judged in this body. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone, how many? Everyone. That everyone may receive the things done in his or her body, according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The word bad, once again, is useless. Now, it's going to be a great time of reward. Don't get me wrong. Because you're going to have a lot of good things. We want to make sure. But we got to make sure that we're in the place where we're full of good and not. I don't want no year where God can't bless me. I don't want all those years just thrown away. I've wasted too many years. Come on, I want some things to please Him. Amen. All right. Hurriedly. Genesis chapter 17. And let's look at worship. I want us to show how if we're not careful, we can miss the truth of what God would bring to us, and we could curse our future. Amen? Genesis 17, verse number 1. You know this story very well. We preached that up many times. But and Abram was 99 years old. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be thou perfect, be thou complete, step by step. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face. Come on, that's worship. When you and I, when we fall on our face, when we put God first, that's worship. That's what true worship is. This here is a little literal position, but you and I can do it driving in the car. We can fall. In other words, Lord, I couldn't get any lower. I'm lifting you up in every thought, every desire, every situation. I'm as low as I can get, and I want you to have that place of authority. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him. See, God has some things to say to you and I, but so much of the enemy has tried to keep you and I from hearing what God wants to say. Now, see, think about he'd been walking for 24 years in the promise. See, some of you and I are here. We've been walking in a lot of promises of God for a long time, and we haven't seen anything. Honest. It's time that we start seeing some things. Amen. So how do we see some things? We've got to come back and we've got to make sure that we're not tying God's hands. We're not delaying the progress that the Lord would have for us. Now, we won't take time to read all of this, but God reminds him of all of the promises, and then he gives him grace to be able to hear it. Say, I've got grace. See, you're living in the dispensation of grace. Come on, the door of grace is open to you and I right now. And so we've got grace. And so grace means that you've got, just like Noah, Genesis 6:8 that we talked about when we opened up, Noah found grace in the sight of God. In other words, Noah was not going to go down in the flood. Say, I'm not going down. So you've got this grace. And so we need to see that God has changed your name, which changes everything about you. And so all of that. But as he's in this place of worship, in this reality of where Abram is becoming Abraham is there, look at all of a sudden the words out of Abraham's mouth. Drop down to verse 17. Genesis 17:17. And Abram fell upon his face and laughed. See, sometimes you and I do that. We hear a promise from God and we go, yeah, I believe that for somebody else, but I can't believe it for me. But we got to see that instead of us believing like that, we've got to let the promise bring us laughter, not the doubt. Because remember, that's what Isaac means, laughter. So instead of laughing at what we don't have, let's let what we do have cause us to laugh. All right. And Abram fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old and Sarah that is 90 years old? Now notice, he's in this place of intimacy and God has just gave him grace to be able to bring forth this promise that he's been waiting on 24 years, and all of a sudden, this sounds just like me. I can't talk about you, but it sounds just like me. Because all of a sudden, Abraham starts exaggerating. And he's not 100 yet. How many times do we say that? Oh, God. We add to it. The Bible says, don't add to, don't take away. Let your yea be yea, your nay be nay, where you can have faith in your own words. See, if I don't have faith in my own words, then I can't pray the prayer of faith. I can't believe what God would have me to believe. Amen? All right. He fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? Shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abram said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Now, he's in a place of intimacy that he's never been before, a place of revelation of grace that he's never been before. But instead of stepping forward, he's wanting to hold on to the past. He said, see, what was Ishmael? Paul, the Apostle Paul, went into great detail helping us to understand in the book of Galatians chapter 4 that Ishmael is a son, a product, a child of the flesh that brings into bondage the child of the Spirit, Isaac. and you got to cast out Ishmael. You've got to cast out Hagar to be able to have Isaac, laughter, to have the joy in your life. And so God's given him this revelation of grace and who he is and what he can do. And he says, oh, but because his heart was still on the flesh. Now, we're talking about changing some things. We're talking about closing some doors where the enemy can't work in your life, in my life, like he done in the past. And the way we can do that is we've got to lay those things down. God, he's so merciful, he tells him, listen, I'm going to take care of Ishmael. Don't you worry about Ishmael. In other words, we don't worry about our flesh. God gave it to us. He'll take care of it. He can take care of it a lot better than I can, a lot better than you can. So let's give everything to him, and let's, in this intimate time, let's let him correct us, and let's let him move us on past what's limiting us and what's holding us back. And let's let words, let's let them be at watch in our life. Let's let them work in our life. Let's let them, as they cause us to worship, let us be in the place where they bring truth and change. Amen. Now, I want to close with two verses, and I want you and I to pray these two verses together before we have a time at the altar. Sister Victoria, would you put Psalms 19:14 on the screen? Psalms 19:14 is a verse that you and I need to pray and every day, and you find it in a way that it speaks to you, and you personalize it to you, and you pray it out of your heart. And if you'll pray this, if we'll pray this every day, it's going to change our life. The Bible says, let the words... Come on, God, I want you to help me. I want your words to be my words. I don't want to try to exchange my words and make God lower than what he is. I want him to lift me up, don't you? Lord, let the words of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Now, this word, like I said, you prayed this verse, how it meets you in your level of understanding and your level of need. But be acceptable. The word's delightful. God don't want something that's just acceptable. So, Father God, thank you that my words can be delightful in your sight. And the word sight here, it means the face of God is on you. That's a good place to shout, because the Bible says when the Aaronic blessing come in Numbers chapter 6, when God's face shined upon you, when you and I realize that God is looking at us through Jesus, the shining favor of God is on our life to empower us, to embolden us, to lift us into the place and position of who we are in Jesus Christ. Amen? So let the words of my mouth, let them be acceptable in thy sight. Let the thoughts of my heart. Come on, I want you, I give you permission, Lord, to come in to my heart and make some adjustments. Make some correction. See, I don't know about you, but in all honesty, my thoughts torment me. The devil gets in my thoughts and he twists things up. He twists what was said. He twists what was done. And he creates an image. And then that image, it just starts attacking me. And if I dwell to that, if I yield to that, it gets bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden, then I start percolating for the devil. And the next thing I know, I'm saying what I'm feeling. I'm saying what I'm seeing. And then I'm creating that, and I'm quenching and I'm grieving the Spirit of God. I don't want that. Amen? So, we've got to be in the place where we let God be our strength. Let God be your redeemer. That strength. He's your rock. Jesus is your rock, and he's the one that's redeemed you. In other words, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the only person that could redeem somebody who was the closest kin to them. There's nobody closer to you than Jesus Christ. He's your redeemer, amen? All right, Ephesians 4:29. We've got to be in the place where we pray this. Let no corrupt communication... And this word corrupt goes back to the bad fruit. If we'd had time to read it, the worthless fruit. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. So what we say every day, we say, Lord, I thank you that this day, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, there will not be any bad fruit come out of my mouth. The things that I say is going to be building blocks. Edifying means to build. You are the architecture of the Lord. Amen. And so, Lord, I thank you that by your word coming out of my mouth under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be a building block in my life, in my family's life, in somebody else's life. And I'm going to be able to speak grace. Come on, the Bible says, Paul said to the church at Corinth that God's grace was... Woo! It doesn't matter what the enemy's doing. So I've got to come back and take responsibility and see my words. Come on, they're at work in my life by the Lord. Come on. I got to let them be my watch. I got to let them be my worship. I got to let them be the final say in everything I do. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this great group of people. I thank you for the power of your word. I ask you right now that you touch each one of us and you draw us by the power of your spirit. Help us to see truths. Lord, right now, let us see treasures that you're trying to bring into our life. Let us see places that you would have us to go. Let us see people that you would have us to be reunited with, to where the very thoughts and the very words have tore down the hedge and has brought a separation, a limitation, has brought a hindrance by the work of the enemy in. And let today be the day that we shore those things up, that we come back to you in humbleness, in meekness, in complete obedience, and that you inspire us to say what only you would have us to say, that we can be hedge-proofed by the Word of God. Oh, Lord, let it be. Let it be. Right now, we ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for it. Thank you for it.